We are going to start with part two of the case law update. We're trying a somewhat unique format where we split the case law update into two parts. And before us today, once again, we have Professor Owen Anderson. I get to introduce a former professor of mine, and it's a lot of fun to do that. Owen, as most people know, is from North Dakota, a graduate of UND Law School, and he has taught at Oklahoma, Texas Tech, UND, and now University of Texas, where he's a distinguished lecturer. Without further ado, Professor Anderson.
Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm going to start out here with a little low-tech. We're going to see if this works. I call this low-tech because it's not Spotify. Yeah, maybe it's not going to work.
What a difference a day made.
Willie Nelson. Okay.
24 little hours.
Okay. Now I got to get this stocked.
Brought the sun and the flowers.
There we go. Now, that has nothing to do with the fact that it's 24 hours since I was here. What it has to do with is the case I'm going to try and bring up here. Again, pet histories are valid as of about 20, is right here, okay? This case is a bit complicated. It's got complex facts, but basically, there's leases out there with continuous drilling provisions. And some of the parties that are not the operators are concerned that these leases be saved, see? So the operating party is supposed to notify the non-ops of any annual drilling plans that, well, all annual drilling plans, but to alert the non-ops if the annual drilling plans are going to be insufficient to save any leases. So the idea is the non-ops then can reclaim their interests through a reassignment and try to save the leases themselves, see? There's a huge lease and some other smaller leases that have a anniversary date of January 1st of each year. That's the anniversary date. But there's a recorded memorandum of lease that says that the lease expires December 31st. So the notice requirement is that you have to give notice November 1st for any leases that are going to be lost in the ensuing year. So if the lease expires December 1st, you effectively have to give 14 months notice. But if the lease expires January 1st, you only have to give 2 months notice. Now, it's an unusual case, but probably not very of much precedental value, but it makes one really important fundamental point, that leases and contracts that have an effective date, you don't count the first day. You do count, of course, the last day. So a contract that's for 1 year, January 1st, expires the following January 1st, not December 31st. And the Texas Supreme Court looked at the memorandum of lease that said December 31st. They looked at the actual lease that said January 1st. And it was clear that the memorandum was subordinate to the lease. So the court adhered to the January 1st expiration date and reiterated the importance of that default rule, okay? That you don't count the first day, but you do count the last day. Now, what a difference a day makes is this: because of the change in oil prices at the time that this case arose, or the factual concern, the facts arose 2014, 2015. We all know what happened to oil prices